Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, and I'd like to invite you to join me and my professor of fine arts, Breda Ennis, inside the Church of San Giovanni dei Fiorentini, right across the river from the Vatican, to admire a sculpture depicting St. John the Baptist baptizing Christ, signed Antonio Raggi, a student of Bernini's. As you'll discover if you listen on, it's a marble masterpiece which stands proud above the main altar. And we're sitting on the front bench of the Church of San Giovanni ai Fiorentini, so dedicated to St. John and linked to Florence in some way. But we're actually here to look at a sculpture above the main altar, where normally, Breda, there's a big painting, whereas this is a huge sculpture, you told me, by Antonio Raggi. Why a sculpture above the main altar? It's the baptism of our Lord.
Yes. Well, probably most times they don't get it quite right in terms of the subject matter, or let's say the drama that you need in a big image over the main altar. Because the main, what they call the pala, the main altar pala, is always the most important in the church, because it's right above the altar. And if you look below, the altar is designed by Pietro da Cortona. And this altar had many modifications before it became what we see now, including the hand of Borromini. And if you look up, you'll see curved effect that you get in all the works of Borromini. But going back to the sculpture, you see on the right is St. John the Baptist, who's just moving forward, putting his weight on one foot and on a rock, as you will always find John the Baptist when he's baptizing Christ. Christ is just below him in the water, and he's bent towards St. John the Baptist, who is about to pour the water on his head. Now, above, and let's say in towards the back, this is a high relief sculpture, meaning that the figures are almost three-dimensional, even though it's attached onto a background where you have clouds and angels. It's almost slightly abstract too in certain aspects. It's almost like a big plank of irregular wood put behind, but done in marble, of course, all of this, just to give a sense of power to the two figures that are below. And what people don't know about this altar is that there is a tiny little window hidden in the frame of this sculpture, which lets in natural light onto the figure of Christ and a little more light onto the figure of St. John the Baptist. And everybody thinks somebody has switched on a light here and put it on. Instead, it's illuminated from the outside. And if you look over and you see John the Baptist has the strong staff that he's carrying in his hand. And this is the first crozier. It's the first bishop's crozier, used now by bishops or popes. It originates in what John the Baptist had, with this long stick with the top part in the shape of a cross. So the iconographical element of the crozier goes back to John the Baptist. And again, you see this lovely, very expressive and spiritual feeling about the way the two figures are relating to each other. And Raggi, of course, was a student of Bernini. So you can see the influence also here of Bernini, in the way of, you have flowing robes. Christ's robes are flowing out towards the light, as you can see on the left, with an angel behind him just watching, but in the shadows. And then on the right, you have John the Baptist again carrying those heavy robes that he tends to carry. They seem heavier, more, let's say, I would say temporal. The clothes that John the Baptist has are temporal in the sense that they give you. Yet the clothes that Christ has on give you a sense of something that's moving upwards and moving away, and more of another world, giving the sense that this baptism of Christ signifies the recognition of the Messiah and the beginning of the temporal work of the church on earth. In a sense, the papacy goes back to its origins, goes back to this scene.
Breda, would you say that this particular sculpture has a coldness that goes with elegance, because it's incredibly elegant, this whole sculpture and the altar in itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at the pilasters on one side of the altar, which are pale, marbly, whitey, off-white, sort of dirty white, And then, again, you can say that, the same thing about those figures behind the altar. And yet, the altar itself is a mass of red marble. So you have this moving from the pale beige, white, to the red marble, and then onto John the Baptist and Christ, who are pale and marbly, and then out again to the red pillars of marble, and then again over to another area where you have white marble, and then turning beyond that to black and then white. So you have this constant little orchestra of colour. But the movement is created by the alternating aspect of the colour. You notice the altar rails also have the red marble. And the top of the altar, way, way up in the top, the one designed by Borromini. And a little side note, obviously Borromini is buried in this area here, around the main altar. He wanted to be buried near Maderno, his great master, the man who brought him to Rome, and below the dome, designed by Maderno. So, and he got his last wish.
He's buried here.
Over there on the left-hand side of the altar. And over there you have Maderno's grave, and in a way, he's in front of something he designed as well. Actually, that both of them designed. They're near something that some of their creations, which is something
well, maybe
beautiful.
Maybe that's the elegance I'm talking about. It goes back to Borromini.
Yeah.
His architectural excellence, no?
Borromini is, in my opinion, the greatest architect of the Baroque. I mean, I love Bernini, but Borromini, for me, surpasses him in the spiritual content of the work. It's very subtle, it's very elegant, it's very fluid, it moves like water. It's turbulent, like the man himself, but yet it's a controlled turbulence. All his architecture has controlled turbulence. And in a sense, these figures behind the altar, John the Baptist and Christ, with all the movement that they have, create a slight contrast, being more Bernini towards the Bernini, but in a way they complement what Borromini did. So this old idea of the competition between the two, in my opinion, has no real basis, because more than anything they were complementary. And again, if you can see the figure of Christ and John the Baptist, there's this lovely complementary sense also in the roles there and in the movement. And then it's all swirling movement, and then beautiful linear, but sort of semi-controlled linear, with a little bit of controlled, more elegant curving at the top of the altar of Borromini. So this is the artistic marriage of Borromini and Bernini, in a sense, because you're thinking of Raggi and the effect on Raggi's work of Bernini.
And my thanks there go to Breda Ennis, a professor of fine arts, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.